podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
Hey, Dolphins, this is Michael Fink with the FinFans Podcast. Each week we come to you and bring you our opinions on what's going on within the Dolphins organization. During the season, you'll hear two shows each week where we review and preview each game. We shoot straight from the hip and have fun in doing so. We'd like to thank both the Dolphins Talk Network and the Pigskin Podcast Network for their support. Make sure to check them out. Please leave us a review at Apple Podcasts or wherever you may listen to your podcasts. Please make sure to follow the show. That way you'll know when a new one comes out. It's truly appreciated. All right, let's kick off today's show. And today I'm here with Glenn Poole Jr., my nephew. Glenn, you've been a fan since, 2004?
Yeah, hardcore fan since 2004. Obviously, growing up during the greatest era, arguably, in Dolphins history, other than the perfect season with the Dan Marino era. So, I mean, I couldn't have grown up with a better group, you know, to really, like, kind of get me into the Dolphins thing. But I don't think I really got into it until I went to a game when I was a little bit older, kind of started understanding the game better. And, 04 was when I really started to, like, really get into it my senior year.
Okay. And, what attracted you to the Dolphins as opposed to, I know your dad follows the Giants, so as opposed to them or any of the other teams?
I think growing up in South Florida, you know, it's just kind of that atmosphere that you're around. You know, you're around a lot of Dolphins fans. Being close to the field, you know, being able to go to games occasionally was always, you know, attractant. And on top of that, just, you know, my mom was huge into, you know, like in around 04, was huge into Jason Taylor. And, you know, I mean, how can you not be? The guy is...
Yeah, he's awesome.
Arguably one of the best defensive ends to ever play the game. He was amazing. You know, Zach Thomas, you know, Junior Seau. You know, I loved Chris Chambers. A.J. Feely wasn't terrible, you know. I mean, he got injured, but I mean...
A.J. Feely was terrible.
Okay, well, I mean, with our record of quarterbacks since Marino's left, I don't feel like A.J. Feely is at the bottom of that list.
He's close. No, he's closer to the bottom than the top, let's put it that way.
Yeah, so I mean...
And John Beck, is, you know, Cleo Lemon, I mean, all these guys, you know, that were awful. But yeah, I mean, you know, look, if you started watching Marino, and obviously if you really became avid in 2004, he was long done by then.
But, yeah, he retired in, what, 2000, right? It was his last season?
99 was his last season. Okay. And he finished, you know, in the playoffs. They lost badly to Jacksonville, and that was that.
Indeed. Yeah, my first real big player that I followed, because, you know, everybody loved Marino, and I just didn't want to be that guy that followed the trend. So I remember watching a game when I was a kid and watching, you know, O.J. McDuffie go off. I think the game I watched, I think he had like two or three touchdowns. Just he was amazing, and so, like, O.J. McDuffie was my guy. I wanted an O.J. McDuffie jersey so bad for Christmas one year. You know, I asked for it. Didn't end up getting it. I ended up getting a Marino jersey.
Yeah, so, that's what the stores were selling.
Yeah, exactly. That's whatever the stores were selling. But, you know, I was happy to have that. That was, you know, still, I obviously loved Marino. You know, how can you not? Again, the guy was amazing.
He was. And, you know, the one thing he didn't do is the one thing we all wish he did. And that was won a Super Bowl. But he got them there, and he made a lot of teams more competitive than they should have been. He had a great, great career here. So, but in 04, you know, Chambers is somebody you mentioned, and certainly somebody I would have mentioned if I started watching then, because he was there in 04.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's probably one of the best receivers you've seen play.
Yeah, arguably probably one of the best receivers. I was actually a really big fan of Randy McMichael back then. I thought Randy McMichael was a great tight end. He knew how to do something that Gesicki doesn't. He knew how to block. Yeah. I mean, I think that's the only thing that's lacking from Gesicki's game. I just wish that I hope, like, if we do end up re-signing him, I hope that they find a way to, like, maybe bulk him up in the season and have him working out with the offensive line coach and, you know, just helping him block with this atrocious O-line that we have to sit here and watch every week.
Well, maybe the offensive line coach isn't the guy to send him to.
Well, Somebody. Somebody. Like, hopefully we get a new offensive line coach or something.
You'd send him to the strength and conditioning coach. That's the guy who needs to get a hold of him.
Yeah. Yeah, but, he definitely needs to bulk up just a little bit.
You saw Mike Wallace for a year. You saw Jarvis Landry, obviously. You saw Brandon Marshall. He was a very good receiver.
I actually, the first Dolphin player I ever high-fived coming out of the tunnel was Anthony Fasano. Uh-huh. So, I was a big Anthony Fasano guy. I was very sad to see him leave. But
underrated tight end, I think.
Absolutely. Agreed. I thought he was great. And actually, the game I was at, he had an amazing game. I think he broke 100 yards that game. It was against the Denver Broncos when Tim Tebow was there.
Oh, boy.
And, Jesus came out in the fourth quarter. And he absolutely just he destroyed us in the fourth quarter. But, I mean, just what a great game. I was actually on TV that game. I had family members sending me pictures while I was at the game. Like, hey, you're on TV. I was like, oh, hey, there I am.
That's fun.
Yeah, it's always cool when you get to see yourself on TV. We were cheering hard because we had just scored a touchdown. So they panned up, in that end zone. And there we were.
Now, forgetting everything you know about Tannehill in Tennessee, were you a Tannehill fan?
Yes and no. I felt like if the guy, just had a little more support from his supporting cast, I felt like he could have been a lot better. But I definitely don't think that he was all the problem, because I mean we saw what he can do when he was healthy, when he was playing well, when. When he had time to throw in the pocket, when he can definitely throw the long ball. He made some poor decisions, but you know what young quarterback doesn't. And it was like you asked me every Sunday, it would change every Sunday, just by what we did.
Yep. No, I can understand that. I wanted Tannehill to do well. I just didn't feel he was going to do well. He just, to me, he was just missing something. Some people call it. I don't know what you want to call it, but
I think he was missing a good head coach. I mean, he was there. Maybe. The entire Adam Gase was there. And I just think
maybe
I think it's the one thing that Dolphins fans and Jets fans can agree on, that Adam Gase is just, not the answer.
He had Philbin longer than he had Gase. So, he had Philbin, he had Gase, two coaches who most people would like to forget. You don't know. What did you think of Sperano?
I was not a fan of Sperano.
No?
No. I thought he had the talent there. I just, not really to make a Super Bowl run, but, at least to get some contention for a wild card or, a playoff spot, and that's just what every team's fan just wants. They want to just see their team, make a playoff push and just make the season exciting.
Well, the year he had a quarterback, he got him there, right?
This is true.
The year with Pennington. Although, you could argue it wasn't as much Pennington as it was the Wildcat, but I don't know. To me, I give Pennington a lot of credit for that year.
I do as well, but you're talking about two of the better running backs to ever play for the Dolphins.
Yep.
Ricky Williams, arguably the best running back. Besides Zonka,
Zonka was a fullback, not a running
back. That's true. He wasn't a true running back, but right. The greatest guy to ever run the ball for the Miami Dolphins is Larry Zonka with Ricky Williams, probably, a close second to that.
Yeah. They leaned on Zonka and they leaned on Williams. So you can say, both players were heavily relied on. Williams obviously had more carries in a year than Zonka ever had, but they were both workhorses for their teams. But Zonka has the world championships on his belt and Ricky Williams doesn't.
Agreed.
So, I think you lean towards him for that, especially because the team leaned on him as much as they did. Right. But if you told me that Ricky Williams was the best runner in Dolphin history, I wouldn't hate you, because in my opinion, had he had his head on straight, he would have been in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, if he could have stayed away from the green, yeah, I agree with you. I think he would have stayed with the Dolphins a lot longer, and maybe he would have been one of those building blocks where we Chad Pennington moves on, we get a Ryan Tannehill. In Ricky's later years, Ryan Tannehill and him could have done what he's doing with Derrick Henry.
Right.
Then just build around those two guys and make a playoff push and, hope that the chips fall our way in a couple situations. And, because that's that's the way it ends sometimes, you know, for teams in the playoffs. It's just a matter of luck.
Yeah. Luck and circumstance, you know?
Right, absolutely. But that team was, you know, it was my team. Like, yeah, that's when, me and my Uncle Ryan sat down, we started watching games, and I was able to sit down with some family members and really get to watch it. You know, I actually got to meet Pat Sertan when I went down to one of the draft parties and, you know, thank him for playing absolutely amazing. I mean, you know, that guy was all over the place. He was defending balls left and right. And I believe Sam Madison might've been there as well that year.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, at the year of the draft party. Yeah. The draft party. So, I mean, I got to meet Joe Rose, Channing Crowder, Raekwon McMillan, Jakeem Grant, you know, a lot of those guys. You know, it was, it's definitely an experience that I definitely think, you know, if you haven't been to one, I definitely think you should do that. Cause it's just, it's cool. It's a great draft party, you know, the whole night, just getting everything going and cheering on the team. And,
yeah, a bunch of us were going to get together, not this past draft, but the draft before that, until COVID came to be a thing. And that kind of derailed our plans, but I'm sure we'll get down there eventually.
Well, if you're making the plans, let me know. Cause I will definitely make sure to get down there and go.
Yeah, it'd be fun. It'd be fun.
Absolutely.
So what made you stay with the team? I mean, really, you've seen, what, 4 winning seasons since 04?
Pretty much, yeah. It's I don't know. I think it's just, you know, you watch a game and you cheer for a team and all of a sudden it just becomes a part of you. And I feel like that's what watching the Dolphins was to me. It was something I got to do with my mom, you know, because my dad being a Giants fan, yep. You know, sitting down with my mom, it was always just fun sitting there on Sunday because there was no crazier person yelling at the TV than my mother on a Sunday. I mean, she was always going nuts, especially when Jason Taylor made a hit or a sack or anything like that. She loved that man. But yeah, and I think that's what it was. I mean, just like over time, I just, you know, you kind of grow into it while you're losing, and then you see, you know, winning season, you're like, okay, maybe we're turning things around. Then the next season comes around, you're not, and you got to take the highs with the lows. I mean, and I don't know. I don't know why I've stayed as a glutton for punishment as long as I have, but I just can't see myself cheering for any other team. I can't.
Well, I can tell you this, you know, the last year I was super optimistic about them, you know, it was 1974. And then we know what happened then, right? They lost to the Raiders in a grueling playoff game. And every year since then, you know, we've been waiting for them to get back into and win the Super Bowl, and it hasn't happened. You know, we've got close a couple of times, you know, while Shula was still here, but they weren't able to put it together to where they could actually win the game. And now, you know, we're a long time from then. You know, the last time they made it was 1985, January of 85. So, you know, that's a long
before
time
I was
ago.
Born.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, so we're still waiting. And what do you think of the coaching staff we have now with Brian Flores?
I'm a Coach Flo fan. I think the guy's got it. I don't think his choices in surrounding staff is as good. I think, you know, it's kind of similar to the, you know, what college coaches say, if you have 2 quarterbacks, you have none. I think, you know, him not being able to just say, hey, you're my offensive coordinator, make the decision, make the call, is hurting him and it's making him look bad. And, you know, unfortunately that could end up losing his job. You know, he needs to be a little more decisive off the field, I feel. But I feel in the games, I feel like he puts our teams in good positions most of the time. As far as defense goes, obviously we've seen what our defense can do. Not necessarily this week. Our defense was mediocre this week, but, you know, still got the W. So, I mean, I'll take a W any day of the week. But, you know, I am a Chris Greer fan. Coach Flo fan. Chris Greer is a whole different... I'm not a Chris Greer fan. But Coach Flo, yeah, he's got my support. You know, I'll ride with Coach Flo for at least another 2 years. I think, you know, we should definitely give him his full contract, let him see what he does. And if at the end of the contract we're not winning games, time to cut him loose and try something new.
This Thanksgiving, be thankful for family, food, and free bets. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook. An official sports betting partner in the NFL has a Turkey Day no-brainer you can't miss. New customers can bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, you can still get in on the Thanksgiving NFL action. Make your first deposit, and you can play free for millions with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Football Contests. DraftKings is safe, secure, and reliable, and best of all, you can deposit and withdraw your cash whenever you want. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code TPPN, bet just $1 on any Thanksgiving NFL game, and win $100 in free bets if either team scores a point. That's promo code TPPN this Thanksgiving at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner in the NFL. You must be 21 or older in New Jersey, Indiana, or Pennsylvania only. New customers only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problems? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Yeah, he's had it rough. I mean, they totally tore the team down in his first year. So you really can't count that, right? Because
no,
he was playing with a strip club. And, you come back the next year and you're acquiring talent. So, you know, you're not obviously going to be ready then. So, you know, and last year they went 10-6 and everybody got excited. You know, everybody thought, you know, maybe we could have a better year this year. And so far things haven't worked out. We can all point fingers and say why, but I think the biggest reason is the offensive line.
Yeah, 100%.
They just have not been able to put together an efficient offensive line in many, many years.
It's just a shame because I had such high hopes for Austin Jackson. I really thought that, you know, watching that kid in college, I really thought that he was going to develop into a great NFL tackle, and he's just been abysmal.
Well, he hasn't been a good guard.
No, he hasn't been a good anything.
You know, so, you know, hopefully with time he will develop. But, you know, I can't be overly optimistic that's going to happen just based on what we've seen. But, you know, I've been surprised before. You never know.
I think, I really think the Dolphins need to go out and get the top running back in the class this upcoming season. That's my personal opinion. But then again, Chris Greer, just he does not see running backs as valuable. And
apparently not.
You passed up on Jonathan Taylor, Najee Harris, Travis Etienne. I mean, I know Etienne's injured, but you passed up on, you know, the list goes on.
It goes on, yes.
Of all these running backs that are, you know, stars in this league now. I mean, I'm pretty sure we had a shot at Dalvin Cook. We had a shot at Derrick Henry, I believe we had a shot at, and we didn't take him. I mean, could you imagine Derrick Henry running behind this line with Tua? I mean, I don't think it's even as bad as our line is. I still think Derrick Henry would still run people over for four yards of carry.
Well, you know, if you have a power back, they know how to fall forward for yardage. You know what I
Absolutely.
Mean? But the point is this. Until you fix that line, you know, especially in the middle,
right?
You're not going to be able to have a very good running game.
Yeah, and I honestly think that certain people on that line look better than others. I just feel like that when one guy looks bad, the whole line looks bad.
I agree with that.
I think Eichenberg is decent. I know his PFF rankings aren't good, but I feel like he's trying to make up for what Jackson's losing. You know, like he's like, well, how am I going to, you know, stop three guys when you can't stop one? I mean, you know, like he's trying, and I see that he's trying. I think Eichenberg might develop into a good left tackle. And the good thing is he's not the blindside guy for, Tua, with him being a left-handed quarterback. And I don't know. I think Eichenberg, it was a good pick by, Chris Greer, who, again, like I said, he's not a fan of, but we'll see, you know?
Yeah, time will tell. He was good in college, you know? He had a good college career, but it's got to translate, and so far it hasn't, you know? Maybe it will. Anybody else on the team now that you really appreciate?
I mean, X-Man. How can you not appreciate him? Yeah. I mean, the guy's a superstar. I hope that, you know, we're able to work everything out his contract-wise, you know, this offseason, keep him happy and keep him around. I am blown away by Javon Holland. I think that kid is going to be a superstar for this club. I can't say enough about him. Especially the last 3 weeks, he has looked
Yeah, last week he was amazing.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, just...
We didn't mention it, but this was Jets week.
We're in Jets week.
We beat the Jets, and we're creating this podcast around our other podcast. We'll talk about the Jet game with Lewis.
So, but, I mean, he got a good head on his shoulders. He's a good kid. You know, Jalen Waddle is, I mean, I think he's looking to try and go for that rookie receptions record. I mean, I know they're not for big yards, but, you know, he had that great one last week, got open, and I don't see why we don't do that a little more often. I mean, I know we had, you know, Mac Hollins catch a deep one, but I'm just excited to see Tua going downfield more often. You know, had a long one to Albert Wilson. You know, just, I think some of the schemes are starting to come together that, you know, they're trying to see what works and who can get open. And I just really love what I'm seeing from Waddle. I mean, Tua, you could ask everybody last year, I was not a Tua fan. This year started off not a Tua fan. But I like the way that he stepped up and, you know, he refused to remain, you know, after he fractured his finger, he refused to remain in just regular clothes. He said, I am your backup quarterback. If that's the case, if I can't start, I'm going to be your backup quarterback. And he got in there. And then when he had his shot, he came in there and he put points on the board. He drove down the field. He looked good. He looked poised. You know, very much unlike how he did against the Bills at the end of the season last season, where I thought he looked like a scared kid playing, you know, like a kindergartner playing with sixth graders.
Deer in the headlights.
Absolutely. That he just looked like he was outmatched in every way, shape, and form. And now he's starting to get that confidence in himself. And I really hope that he continues to grow on that and continues to gain confidence. Cause I, for the first time ever, I feel like he can be, if nothing less, I compared him to, with my brother, we were talking about it. I said, I compared him to Jimmy Garoppolo with San Fran when they made the Super Bowl. I feel like he can be that quarterback that's just good enough to make the right plays, to put the points on the board, and allow the defense to win us the championship.
I suppose.
That's the hope, right?
I mean, we gotta
just keep hoping.
You know, I guess my problem with Tua more than anything else is he's fragile.
Yeah. I mean, he definitely shows that he...
In 15 games, he's had two injuries, and he was coming off a major injury, you know, the hip. You know, he's got to stay healthy, and if he can do that, then we can get, you know, then we can get a better feel for how good he's going to be or can be.
Right, yeah. Let's see him for a 10-game stretch, you know, without being injured and without being, you know, win a couple of games. You know, I mean, if he goes 500 in a 10-game stretch where he's doing that, but he's looking good doing it, because like, you know, Lewis has said in the past, he's like, if we're losing games, but it's staying close, yes, obviously we want the win, and we, you know, it still hurts nonetheless to lose, but if we're fighting for it and we're clawing at it and we're, you know, fighting for those inches, that's all I want to see. I just want to see my team be competitive. I don't want to see my team just lay goose eggs and, you know,
right, be a laughingstock.
Yeah. I mean, we were literally like the preseason, they're talking about, Dolphins are going to be the one that, you know, they're going to be fighting for that AFC East and they're going to be a wild card contender and this and that. And then we come out, we beat the Patriots and everybody's like, oh, wow, okay, maybe the Dolphins are, you know, the team that they say they are. And then the next week we looked atrocious, and the week after that, and for seven games straight, I think it was?
Seven games.
So, I mean, I know we're on a hot streak right now, but we're not playing amazing teams. You know, we're playing a Carolina team that's rejuvenated by, you know, by Cam Newton next week. You know, he looked pretty good today. I know he lost, but hey, I mean, he looked pretty good in doing so. And then what after that, I think we play the Giants, right?
I think so.
Yeah. December 5th, we're in Miami. Giants are coming to town and, you know, I think we could beat that team, you know, depending on how we do against the run stop with Saquon, you know, he should be coming back healthy and, you know, I don't want to get ahead of myself. You know, let's look to Carolina. Let's whoop some, you know.
Yeah. One game at a time, my coach says, you know, because, the Bills, you saw what happened to them, right?
Yes. They got trounced.
Right.
Indianapolis made them look silly. I mean,
and I'm sure they would have said, oh, we should beat the Colts.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
I'm sure most of the Vegas betting guys said, oh, yeah, the Bills are going to beat the Colts. You know, this should be an easy game. And it definitely wasn't. I mean, you know, the Bills fought back a couple times, but man, just second half.
Houston beating the Titans, right?
Yeah, Houston was the big upset this week. Houston beat the Titans. Right. That was really interesting to say the least. I know you guys have said it before. You know, with Tyrod Taylor coming back, they look like a much better team. I think if he would have stayed healthy this whole season, you know, Houston would be, you know, at least, you know, 2 or 3, maybe even 4 wins higher.
Probably. They'd be more competitive.
Absolutely. Yes.
What is your prediction for the future of this club?
Predictions and hopes are two different things. Predictions, I'll say, I think within Tua's time here, I think that we will see a playoff run. I don't think, you know, we're there yet to winning the AFC East. But I think, me personally, if I were the GM and I were trying to do this, I'm trading away Parker. I'm trading away or just releasing Fuller because he's done at the end of the season. You know, you build around Waddle. You build around Gesicki. Smythe is doing a decent job. Mac Hollins is doing decent. I feel like just we need to go into this draft with the mindset of let's take a step back. Let's go nothing but offensive line or, you know, like, best player available kind of stuff, and just go out and get our needs, not, you know, what is going to be flashy to the fans. And they're going to be, oh, we took a Jalen Waddle. Well, if we would have taken, you know, and I love Jalen Waddle, but if we would have taken, what was that kid out of Oregon? I'm drawing.
Sewell.
Yeah, Penei Sewell. Mm-hmm. You know, our line, and then Eichenberg on top of that. Well, then Austin Jackson's, you know, probably released at that point. You know, because you have Penei Sewell and Liam Eichenberg on that line, you know, where are you going to put Jackson at that point? I think Penei Sewell is better than both of them. And I just, you know, I think, you know, we could have went out and got, you know, a good running back with that Igbinoghene pick, who was a healthy scratch this week again, which is so lovely
again,
to see.
Yep.
But, you know, this past year, I don't know what happened. I don't know if Coach Flo got into Chris Greer's ear and said, listen, man, these are the people you need to pick. But, you know, his picks this year, not as bad. Jalen Waddle's doing good. Javon Holland's doing good. I can't knock him for that. You know, those two guys are playing really good football. I think they have the potential to make, you know, this team that much better and be building blocks for us to move forward.
What do you see about Phillips?
Oh, man. Today, I watched a play where I just literally, if I was the coach, I would just say, just sit down.
That was boneheaded.
The Jets running back was running to the outside. He stood there and just stood there. And the guy made a cut to the inside, and he just looked at him. And, like, I was just like, I feel like I coach youth football, and I feel like that's what I just saw. I coach, like, it's a youth kid saying, ooh, that guy's fast, and he just watches him run away. Like, that's how I felt. And I was just like,
yeah, next time, take a picture.
Yeah, seriously, like, were you trying to reach for your phone to take a picture as he ran by you? I mean, it was atrocious. I mean, Jalen Phillips, he like shows flashes, but it's just like, it's a flash in a pan. He just, he shows flashes of like, oh, wait, Jalen Phillips might be playing good. Oh, never mind.
And I thought you were referring to his late hit out of bounds.
Oh, no. I didn't get to watch the game. This is my end too much today. I was trying to watch as much as possible. It was my end of the year party today for my football team.
Gotcha.
So we were doing that, you know, playing with the kids and having
sure,
fun.
Sure.
But but from what I watched, no, I didn't see that. I'm sure I'm going to watch the highlights later and see that, you know, knucklehead move.
He drove a guy about 8 yards out of bounds and decided it would be a good idea to push him down. And when he did, he got flagged.
Deservedly so.
Yeah.
So, but I don't know, man. I felt like we should have went out and got, because I think, wasn't Gregory Rousseau still on the board when Jalen Phillips was on the board?
I think so. I believe we took Phillips before Rousseau went. He went to Buffalo.
Yeah. Why? Why? Gregory Rousseau is playing amazing for the Bills.
Yep.
I just.
It is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, you know, hindsight's 20/20, obviously, but.
Yep.
I don't know. I think Chris Greer needs to do something different, you know, like he needs to relearn himself and relearn what this team needs and sit down with his coaching staff and figure it out. And Stephen Ross needs to, you know, I hate to say it, but I think Stephen Ross is going to have to, you know, to step in, cut a guy out and just say like, everybody's head's on the chopping block, you know? And I think if that's the case, I think you get guys that are going to be a little more hungry in the office, in the front office, and try and focus more, or, you know, it can completely demoralize it. It's, you know, it's one or the other.
It really, you know, it comes down to who can you get? Who's going to want to come into this organization and take it over, essentially, because that's, you know, what the GM does.
Right.
You know, so who can you get that's qualified to do that, that has a proven track record of being able to do that?
Yeah, I mean,
that's, you know, that's really the question.
I knew we were in trouble when Bill Parcells came in and he goes, nope, I'm out. I'm not touching it. You know, I mean,
He got paid anyway. So that's why he left.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah. I'm sure they paid him either way.
Yeah. He had a buyout. He had a deal with Wayne when he owned the club that if the team is sold and I want out, I get paid his entire contract. And that's what he did. He just took the money and ran.
I can't blame the guy. You know, during those times we were not looking good, you know, had no identity whatsoever. And, you know, when that happened, I literally said to a friend of mine, I was just like, I think the Dolphins are in for at least a decade or two of just absolutely, like, something is more wrong in that office than meets the eye. Something is bad.
Well, you know, without being in the office, I'm not going to speak badly of Ross, but he has made some mistakes, and I'll just leave it at that.
Agreed.
Yeah, I think he would tell you he's made some mistakes. So,
I don't think this was his mistake, but like Drew Brees, Dante Culpepper, those two names come to mind with mistakes that the Dolphins have made. That's the stuff that like haunts you in your dreams, and I honestly think that's why they went out and got Tua. Because they were so afraid that Tua was going to come into this league and blow the doors off everybody. And they were afraid of him because he was injured, like, you know, like Drew Brees was. But my biggest thing was Drew Brees was a proven quarterback in the NFL when that happened to him.
Yep.
Tua Tagovailoa is not.
Yep.
And
it's a fair point. I don't think, you know, Brees was at the top of his game yet. But yeah, he had started several games for, I believe it was the Chargers.
Correct. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was such a fan. I remember watching the combine that year and just saying that Justin Herbert is the top guy. Like, I know everybody, I think Joe Burrow went first that year.
Yep.
And I still think Justin Herbert is the better quarterback out of the top three chosen. I think the kid slings the ball. I think he's smart. He's learning every day.
You know, it's hard not to say that watching him play. It really is. So, you know, I would agree with you, but I didn't think so before the draft, you know, because that wasn't what the scouts were saying.
Me and Joe Rose had a good conversation about it. I was screaming to him up on stage and was telling him what I thought about it and just saying that, like, hey, like, I think Justin Herbert is the man. And Joe says, you know, I hope you're not right, because I think we're getting Tua. I said, I think I am right. And even after he was off stage, we sat down and talked about it. And he's like, yeah, you really think Justin Herbert's gonna be the man? I was like, I really do. I think the Chargers just found their heir apparent to Philip Rivers. Yeah. And as such, it happened, and he's doing great. I mean, props to the kid. He showed out. I mean, I feel like if he would have went in a year earlier, we probably would have had him. I think the Dolphins would have went after him, you know, hands down. But he waited the extra year, and they just saw a team falling apart around him, and I think that's what they saw. They're like, oh, maybe he's not the leader we thought he was, and they were nervous about that. But, you know, I mean...
Deshaun Watson, yes or no?
Absolutely not. No. There's too much drama surrounding it, even if everything got settled and everything, like, he didn't, you know, I'm not saying he's all the problem, but him and DeAndre Hopkins didn't get along, you know, there's little rumblings of him not getting along with other people, and that's not the type of person, you know, I would want in my organization if I were running the organization.
Okay. And do you see a playoff victory in Flores' future with the Dolphins?
It depends on how long they give him. He has, what, one more year on his contract after this year?
Yep. It was a 5-year deal.
Wow. That's tough to say that next year will be in it. I mean, you know, only time will tell on that one.
Well, this is his third year, right?
Is this his third year?
I think so.
Okay, so he has two more years, then I would say yes. I do see, if nothing else, I see us making a wild card spot.
Right, they won 5 games this first year, 10 games last year, and 4 wins this year.
Yeah, that sounds right. Yeah.
Yep.
So yeah, then I would say yes. I would say probably not this year. I mean, it would take some really, really strange stuff to happen for us to get in this year, but I mean, this.
Well, going into the Jet game, we had a 2% chance of making it, okay? And we won today, so maybe it went up.
Maybe. And I mean, especially with, you know, the Titans losing, you know, today. I mean, that doesn't affect us tremendously, but, you know, every little bit helps. I mean, when it comes down to it, did the Chiefs lose today? Last I looked, they weren't playing.
They won.
They did win. Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, you know, that's the kind of thing you have to look into. You know, the people who are fighting for the wild card spots, not necessarily people who are fighting for the top of the, you know,
right,
the league.
Right.
You know, we have to just beat those guys out. But yeah, who knows?
We didn't beat Buffalo.
Right. Yeah.
And they're behind the Patriots right now.
Oh my gosh! Yeah, they are. I just thought that's wow. That's crazy,
isn't it?
Wow.
Could have won some money with that one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's. Wow.
Everybody was predicting the Bills to win a division and you know, the Patriots to come in, you know, second, or the Dolphins to come in second, one of the two. So anyway, it's going to be probably different than people thought.
Oh yeah.
But there's still plenty of football left. A lot of things can happen.
Yeah. That's crazy. I'm looking at the standings. That is, that is nuts. 7-4 mm-hmm. for the Patriots and 6-4 for them.
Yeah.
I mean, they're only, you know, 0.36 behind them, you know, due to the winning percentages, but still, like, they're still ahead of them.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, we're only two games behind the Bills. I mean, can we put a string of wins together? And
they haven't played each other yet either, the Patriots and Bills.
That's true, too. That's true, right. too.
They play each other twice, so those meetings are going to be important.
Yeah, and they're going to be very interesting to watch, too. Those will be,
yeah,
be games that I definitely want to sit down and watch those games. But, I mean, most of the AFC, I mean, the playoff picture, the way it's looking right now for the AFC, we're not out of it. I mean, we're definitely behind, but, you know, what, 7 teams make it in this year, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, the Chargers are 5-4 as of right now. You know, Colts 6-5, Browns 6-5, Raiders 5-5, and Broncos 5-5. I mean, we're only two games back from being in a wild card spot.
Right.
So.
Got to keep winning.
Exactly. So we just need to go in. We need to beat Carolina and, you know, keep moving forward.
Right.
So
beat the Giants and beat everybody else. As long as you're winning, you'll make up ground. And you know, there's always a chance you can be, you know, squeaking in at the end.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we play the Patriots at the end, correct? That's our season ending.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
yep.
I mean,
yep.
I mean, it's possible. It's definitely possible.
You never know.
So we beat him once. We could beat him again. I mean, I definitely think Mac Jones is a much different quarterback than the first time we played him. But Coach Flo knows Belichick, and I mean, Belichick knows Coach Flo. So I mean, it's always going to be an interesting matchup. Then that's just really,
yep,
really going to be
that's
fun.
The way it
yeah.
is. Yep. They try and outsmart each other. You know,
yeah.
that's what makes it interesting.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, all right, Glenn. I want to get you on here and hear your thoughts and, you know, cause you know, Lou and I are old guys, you know, we saw the Shula teams and that sort of set our expectations. And I kind of wondered, you know, what your expectations of the team are and, you know, who your favorites were and what you think of their future. And you've pretty much answered those questions.
Yeah. I mean, always hopeful. My Uncle Ryan has the saying, just wait till next year. So,
I mean, yeah,
wait till next year. We're going to be better next year.
You can get old waiting for next year.
Yeah, yeah, no, absolutely. I feel like I definitely have a couple of gray hairs in my beard from Dolphins. But, you know, I got two Tannehill jerseys hanging in my closet right now. You know, I still wear them. Still, you know.
Well, if it gets cold this winter and you need something to burn, you got it.
I got some kindling.
Yep. And we'll say that fins up to everybody. And,
fins up, Dolphins.
Thanks for listening, everybody, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye now. All right, that's today's show. I just want to remind everyone that the Fin Fans Podcast is proud to be part of DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network and the Pigskin Podcast Network. Check out these sites, guys. There's lots of podcasts and information there that you'll enjoy. All right, until next time. Be well and take care.
Sports Social Podcast Network.